Lord of hosts, blessed is the man who trusts in thee. Amen.
Hello, saints. It is good to be back with you. We bring you greetings from your sister church in Paradise, California. They say happy Sabbath to each and every one. And we bring the message of Jesus with us today in special music. It is all about Jesus. And the children are going to share with us about trusting in Jesus. We'd like to do an instrumental medley for you. And all these songs are about Jesus. The first one is about Jesus being our shepherd. He says that he is the true shepherd and we are his flock. And then the next one is, without him, I am nothing. Jesus says, without me, you can do nothing, but I can do all things through Jesus Christ who strengthens me. And the third one is, the Savior is waiting. If you don't know Jesus today as your personal and best friend, he and we invite you to know him today. The Savior is waiting to enter your heart. Oh, how he wants to come in. He wants to give you the best life you can ever have. He came that you might have life and have it more abundantly.
Thank you. This is God Knows Your Name, story of Samuel. Isaiah 43:1, but now thus saith the Lord who created you, O Jacob, and he who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you, have called you by your name, you are mine. So this is the story of Samuel. The boy Samuel ministered to Eli, the high priest. Samuel had finished his work for the day and gone to bed. All was quiet in the tabernacle. Then Samuel heard someone call his name, Samuel. Thinking Eli wanted him, he ran to where Eli was. Here am I, said Samuel. I didn't call you, said Eli. Go and lie down. A little later, the voice called again, Samuel. Obediently, Samuel ran to Eli again. Here I am, you called me. No, said Eli. Go lie down. Puzzled, Samuel went back to bed. Then he heard the voice again. Samuel, once more he ran to Eli. You did call me, Eli. Eli was puzzled. Someone had spoken to Samuel, and Eli guessed it was God. Gently, Eli told Samuel to go lie down, and if you hear the voice again, say, Lord, thy servant heareth. Now the Lord came and stood and called as at other times, Samuel, Samuel. And Samuel answered, for your servant hears, and God spoke to Samuel of things to come. So Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him, and all Israel knew that Samuel had been established as a prophet of the Lord. I have called you by name, you are mine. God fights for you. Exodus 14:14. For the Lord will fight for you. This is the story of David and Goliath. David had gone to the camp of the Israelites. As he was at the camp, someone shouted, here he comes out of the camp of the Philistines. Came a giant of a man, at least 9 feet tall. He wore a helmet and body armor, and a large spear like a weaver's beam. That's big, folks. David asked, who is that? Goliath, someone said. And the Israelites began to run away. David thought, why is everyone running away? Who is this Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? Hearing this, David was brought to King Saul. And David said, let no man's heart fail because of him. I will go and fight with Goliath. But King Saul said, you're too young. David told him, watching the sheep and killing the lion and the bear that was attacking the sheep, and how God had delivered him, and that God would deliver him from Goliath. Saul finally agreed. They tried to put him in a suit of armor. It did not fit, so David took it off. Then David walked down to the brook and chose 5 smooth stones. Putting them in the bag he carried, he began walking toward the giant of a man, Goliath, with nothing but a sling. As he walked toward Goliath, Goliath became very angry. But David kept walking and said, thou comest to me with a sword, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts. This day the Lord will deliver thee into my hand. Goliath began to advance. Calmly, David took one of the stones from his bag, put it in his sling, and threw it with all his strength. Suddenly, Goliath stopped, stumbled, and fell. A stone had struck him in the forehead, the one unprotected place on his body, and David killed Goliath. How much God can do through one boy who loves and trusts him with all his heart.
God thinks about you. God, your thoughts are precious to me. They are so many. If I could count them, they would be more than all the grains of sand. When I wake up, I am still with you. Esther was a beautiful young lady that lived in the country of Persia. This is the people that took over after King Nebuchadnezzar. Not all of the Jews went back to Jerusalem. Many had put down roots, and when the more tolerant Persian regime could take command, many of them stayed, including Mordecai. And Mordecai had adopted Esther. Her Hebrew name was Hadassah. And Mordecai taught her about Jesus and about God. He was an important part of the palace, and but he had overheard a conspiracy that two people wanted to kill the king. And he told Esther, and Esther talked to the king, and the conspirators were killed. Now, there was another man who lived in the palace. His name was Haman. He did not like the Jews when he found out that Mordecai was a Jew and refused to bow to him. So what he did was convince the king to write a decree that all the Jews on a certain day would be killed. Everybody in the country could kill a Jew. Well, Mordecai was upset really bad, so he went and told Esther. She hadn't a clue. She was in the palace, and she didn't know anything about it. But Esther was a Jew, too. In Esther's day, a queen was not easily able to approach the king, especially a husband like Xerxes. But she took her life in her hands, because if he didn't hold out the scepter to accept her, then he could have her killed. So she prayed about it, and she went in and stood in the hall by the king and told him that, invited him to a banquet and invited Haman to come along. Well, Haman was really happy about that. Mordecai's stand and Esther's courage led to a dramatic turnaround for the whole community of Jewish exiles. Xerxes rewarded Mordecai with a high position in the court, and more importantly, Mordecai's own community honored him. Esther was brave because she knew that she could trust God because he was thinking of her all the time. You can sit down, Isabel.
Kyla. Mary, the mother of Jesus, God has plans for you. It says in Jeremiah 29:11, I say this because I know what I have planned for you, says the Lord. I have good plans for you. I don't plan to hurt you. I plan to give you hope and a good future. Mary's story is miraculous, and she is a woman of courage, strength, and immense trust. And the lessons we can learn from Mary are, 1, despite her fears, she trusted God's word and guidance for her life. When Mary received the message from Gabriel, saying that she was going to conceive Jesus through the Holy Spirit, she was afraid. But in Luke 1:29, it says Mary was greatly troubled at his words. And despite her fears and uncertainties and questions, Mary decided to trust God's divine plan for her life. 2, the reason Mary was in the midst of her trial, she continued to praise God, even though she was going through this hard time. And her fears did not waver, her doubts did not waver, but she decided that she was going to do what she needed to do. And she did it with songs of praise. And because of her singing and her praise, she was able to overcome the trials that were ahead of her. She also trusted God because she didn't know, it was unknown. She surrendered God moving forward. It's easy to trust God when everything is going right? But when things don't go right and you don't know what the next step is, that's when we really need to know that God is there for us. And Mary decided she was going to trust God during her unknowns and her fears. Also, Mary surrendered her God's plans, not only for her life, but for the life of her child. If Mary had tried to control God's plans for Jesus, Jesus wouldn't have come down to this earth to save each one of us from our sins. So Mary was a very important character in the Bible. So let's remember to praise God in uncertain times, to trust God in unknown times, and to surrender to Him, and He will prosper us and not harm us. And remember that He has a plan for each one of us.
Hi, Joseph in his coat of many colors. Joseph was the 12th child to Jacob. Now Jacob favored Joseph. He favored him. Joseph was his favorite child. He had him in his old age. The 11 brothers, if you read the story, you'll find that they got into trouble. They did things that displeased their father. Joseph would kind of tattle on him, and of course the 11 brothers hated him for being a tattletale. And then one day his father makes him this gorgeous coat of many colors. They said, "Our father never made us coats of many colors. What's with this guy? He's favoring Joseph. This isn't fair." And they hated him in their hearts. Well, then Joseph had a couple of dreams, and both of these dreams were rather interesting. The one dream, he was out in a field, and they were putting up sheaves of wheat, and Joseph was working on his sheaf of wheat, and all of the other brothers were working on their sheaves, and their sheaves bowed down to Joseph's sheaf. So when Joseph told them this story, they said, "What? You think we're going to bow down to you?" Of all the nerve, they had no time for the younger brother. Then he had another dream, and this time the dream was about 11 stars. But the sun and moon were there too, and they all bowed before Joseph's stars. And so Joseph relayed this dream to his father and his brothers, and his father reproved him and told him, no, this will never be. But his father held that in his heart, and he believed that something may be going on here. He held that thought in his heart. Joseph's brothers went off to Dothan with the sheep. Oh, actually, they went to Shechem with the sheep, and they were watching the sheep out there. They were gone for several days. Joseph decides that, you know, his brothers are gone. He's doing his thing. His father says, "Joseph, I need you to go check on your brothers." And Joseph says, "Oh, good, I was bored anyway." So he goes off and he's following his brothers. He has his food, he has his, you know, it's taking him a couple of days to do this. He has his food, he has his water. He gets to Shechem and his brothers aren't there. He's wandering around looking and looking, and a man comes to him and he says, "Do you have a problem? Can I help you?" And he says, "My brothers were supposed to be here with the sheep." And he goes, "Oh, I know where they are. They took the sheep on to Dothan." So Joseph follows on and he goes to Dothan. And he sees the sheep in the fields afar off, and his brothers are there. And he tells his brothers, waves and yells, "Hey, hi, I'm here. Father wanted me to check on you." And what do you think the brothers did? Were they happy to see him? He was so happy to see them. Was he happy to see him? No. No, they didn't want to see their brother. But they said, "Now's our chance. We can kill him. We'll have him out of our lives forever." Reuben said, "No, I don't want you to do that. Let's throw him in a pit. We won't kill him. We'll leave him here in this pit." So they ripped his coat of many colors off from him, and they threw him in a pit. This story goes on, and you'll find the rest of the story in the book of Genesis. He ends up in the pit. The brothers see a train coming from Ishmaelites coming across the desert with their camels, and they're all going to Egypt, and they sell their brother for 20 pieces of silver. And their brother pleads and begs, and they ignore him, and they brutally, they put him on the back of a camel, do you think they gave him food or water? No, no. They just wanted to be rid of this brother. So when Reuben came back and found out his brother was gone, hearts were breaking, and Reuben was, he ripped his clothes, he was grieving. How to tell Father about this? So the rest of this story is in Genesis, and it's quite a good story. It's quite a long story. Thank you.
God is always with you. Teach them to obey everything that I have told you. You can be sure that I will be with you always. I will continue with you until the end of the world. There's a story in the Old Testament about a little girl. We don't know her name. They just call her the little maid. But on a raiding party, somebody stole her from her family. And so she was all alone, and she didn't have her family anymore, and she was so sad and lonesome. But her mommy and daddy had taught her very much about God, and that he can always be trusted, and he's always with you. And this little maid was a special help to somebody. She lived in the home of Naaman, who was a general in the king's army. Now, Naaman had leprosy. That's a bad skin disease that there was no cure for. And so her mistress was crying one day, and the little maid said, "What's the matter?" "Oh, my husband has leprosy, and I don't know what to do." And the little maid said, "Oh, there's a prophet in Israel, and he can pray to God, and he will heal your husband." "Oh, how nice." So the wife told her husband, and the husband went to the king and said, "There's a prophet in Israel that can heal me." And so the king sent a letter with Naaman and said, "Go, we'll get this done." And so he did, but he went to the king. Oh, the king was not happy. "Who do you think I am? I'm not God." But Elisha was living nearby, and he heard about this. And so he told the king to have Naaman come to him. But Elisha didn't go out to see him. He just told him what to do. "Go to the River Jordan and dip 7 times in there, and your leprosy will be healed." And that's eventually what he did. He argued at first because the rivers in Israel were dirty. The ones in Damascus were nice and clean. But his servant cocked him into it, and he went to the Jordan, and he dipped. And sure enough, his leprosy was gone. And that little maid was a good example of being a witness for Jesus.
This story is about Jairus' daughter, Talitha, which means little girl. Jesus is the resurrection and the life. The Bible verse, Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will have life even if he dies." John 11:25. The miracle of Jairus' daughter being raised from the dead has lessons for us to learn. The first lesson, Jesus' goodness doesn't have any boundaries. Jairus fell at Jesus' feet and begged, "Please heal my daughter." Jesus wants us to have humility and trust and faith. He doesn't let us down if we ask him for help, whether we have trust or not. He also wants us sometimes to take a leap of faith. And eventually, Jairus is informed that his daughter died, and it was too late for Jesus to do anything. And Jesus told Jairus, "Don't worry, everything is going to be all right." And he was challenging Jairus to take a leap of faith or trust him. We also need to realize that we mustn't let others limit our faith. Jesus challenged Jairus to have faith, trust. But the atmosphere in the house was really chaotic and confusing, and nobody was believing that anybody could help Jairus. Jesus couldn't help Jairus. And Jesus' response was very dramatic and unexpected. He told everybody, "Leave the room," except for the disciples and the parents. Now, Jesus' actions might have seemed rude, but he didn't want people to draw boundary lines for Jairus' faith. We must also use authority given to us. Jesus didn't pray for the dead girl to return to life. He held her gently by the hand and commanded her to get up. And she told the parents to give her something to eat. And she returned to life immediately. Even death could not resist Jesus' authority. Jesus is the resurrection of life. Little boy King Josiah. And God says all things are possible. We know that in everything God works for the good of those who love him. They are the people of God called because that was his plan. Mark 9:23. Josiah was only 8 years old when he became a king. And this Bible verse that I found, 2 Kings 22:2, was wow. He did what was right in the eyes of the Lord and followed the ways of his father David completely, not turning aside to the left or to the right. 2 Kings 22:2. Josiah started right first and he's finished right. He did what was right in the eyes of the Lord and he followed God completely. He did not turn aside to the left or to the right. Josiah followed God with his whole heart. Josiah's heart was tender to the word of God. When Josiah was a young boy, he had the word read to him out loud. One of the verses that he remembers is, when the king heard the words of the book of the law, he tore his robe, 2 Kings 22:11. And when you tear your robe, it means you are in deep sorrow. And the word made Josiah realize it. His nation was off the mark, and they were not following God's word. And instead of just knowing that, he did something about it. So he asked for repentance, and he changed his behavior after reading the word, and he also made changes to his nation. He removed all the idols, all the articles of worship to other gods, and he also had him and his people do a renewed covenant by pledging to obey the Lord with their commands, their laws, and decrees. I want to leave you with this thought. Josiah is proof that you can remain faithful and trust God throughout your life, and it does not matter what is going on around you.
God says, all things work together for good to those who love the Lord. We know that in everything, God works for the good of those who love him. They are the people God called because that was his plan. Dorcas is the Greek name for Tabitha. She was one of the disciples of Jesus, and she lived in Lydda. She was the person who made all the jackets and coats and quilts for the sick and the poor. She was so helpful, and everybody loved her because she was so kind and considerate. But one day, she got sick, and they didn't have the good doctors and things that we have nowadays, and so she passed away. She died. Well, that was very, very sad. All the widows and poor people just moaned and groaned, and they were terrible. But Peter was not too far away, and so they sent for him. So Peter went, and when he arrived, he was taken upstairs to the room. All the widows stood around him crying and showing him the robes and other clothes that Dorcas had made. She was a wonderful seamstress. So Peter sent them all out of the room, got down on his knees, and prayed. Then turning to her, he said, "Tabitha, or Dorcas, get up." And she opened her eyes, and seeing Peter, she sat up. He took her by the hand and helped her to her feet and called for all the believers, especially the widows, and presented her to them alive. God is so good. And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, those who have been called according to his purpose.
Can't guess what this story is about, right? Daniel. Daniel was captive in a foreign country, far, far away from the land he loved and the people he loved. And the story where we're taking it up is when he is a grown man, he's tried and true, he's honest, he's faithful, he doesn't lie, he doesn't cheat, he doesn't steal, he's absolutely has an impeccable character. So the king put him in charge next to himself, ruling over the kingdom. This didn't go over very well with the priests and the princes that lived there at the time. They were very, very, very jealous of him, and they hated him, and they wanted him dead and gone. So they would follow him around, and they were trying to find out ways that they could trip Daniel up and make him make a mistake so that they could get rid of him. Never happened. He was too faithful, too honest, too true. One of them said, "I've got an idea. I think I know how we can trip him up. Have you not noticed this man? Every day he prays, 3 times a day. He'll go to his room, fling his window open, and he prays toward Jerusalem 3 times a day. Let's go to the king. Let's put have the king sign a decree that says, nobody can pray to anybody besides the king for 30 days. That'll do it. Daniel can't keep from praying to his God for 30 days. So what they did was they went before the king, they brought him this decree, and they said to the king, here we are honoring you. We would like to do this in honor of you, and all the people will know that you are the ruler and have profound respect and love for you. So the king takes his seal and he seals the wax on the envelope with his signet. According to the Medes and the Persians, this can never be changed. You can't renege, you can't go back on it. So they were so happy, they took this, they had him, they knew they had Daniel. And sure enough, what does Daniel do? First thing he does is he goes into his room, he flings his window open, and he's in there and he's praying toward Jerusalem, he's praying. These wicked men are full of glee and delight. They run back to the king and they tell him what they found. Daniel is praying to his God. The king right away felt remorse. He had forgotten about Daniel. He was so puffed up with pride and so felt so honored, he forgot Daniel. And so now they're dragging Daniel off to throw him into the den of lions. And Daniel, he's trusting in God. He knows that God will take care of him. Either way, he trusts in God. The king said something I found interesting. The king says to him, "Daniel, I know your God can save you from the lions." The king told him that. So all night long when Daniel is down in the lion's den, flung in there with those lions, the king can't sleep. He's pacing. He just can't rest. He can't sleep. The next morning, as soon as it was light, he runs out and has him remove the stone from the top of the lion's den, and he calls down into the lion's den, and he goes, Daniel, is your God, which you served, is he able to save you? And from down in the den comes this voice, and it's a humble, meek voice, and it says, my God has saved me and closed the mouth of the lions. He sent his angel to close the mouth of the lion. Oh, that we could have such faith. The book of Daniel is so pertinent to us today, the whole book. I encourage you all to go home and read it, and may we all have the faith of Daniel when that day comes. Thank you.
I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. I will sing, I will sing, I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord. And with my mouth will I make notes His trustfulness, His trustfulness. And with my mouth trustfulness to all generations. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. I will sing, I will sing, I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord.
Closing song. Can you guys please stand and join? Whoops.
Yeah.
Join us with our last song, "'Tis So Sweet to Trust in Jesus."
Is this not why God has a school in Cottonwood, Arizona, folks? I want to thank each of you students for participation. Sheree for an excellent program, and for each adult that participated this morning. I want to thank each of the parents of our children, grandparents, uncles, aunts, friends. Thank you for being here this morning. Will you please bow your head? Dear Father, thank you. Thank you for this school and for each one of these students, each one of the parents, dear Father, for Sheree and Paula and Jan and Debbie. Thank you for their dedication to these kids and to you, dear Father. I praise you as a great God. I praise you for your love and mercy and for your plan of salvation for us. Thank you, dear Father. In Jesus' name, amen.